It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. Hello, everybody out there. How are you? A lot of you are tuned in and listening. My name's Eddie.
I'm Chris.
And it's going to be didn't we say we're going to stop saying it's going to be a great show?
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I'm going to try not to regret anything tonight. I think that's the best I can do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. We're going to talk to Mirror Eyes. These guys are an up-and-coming band. They're going to play the main stage of Warped. They're so good that Kevin Lyman invited them to play the main stage at their home stop. They're called Mirror Eyes. In case you hadn't guessed, the song's called Hold Your Breath.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. Eddie, Jason, and Chris.
The Eddie, Jason, and Chris show.
And yeah, you can add us on Twitter. Tweet us, EJC show. We're also on Skype, EJC show. Or you can call us, 1-888-99-IDOBE.
We're so accessible. We're not standoffish. We...
Oops.
It's so infectious.
Yeah, there we go. That song is just creeping up everywhere. It's just so catchy. Yeah, well, the Republican National Convention is going on right now. They're in Cleveland, and all those damn Republicans are out there and doing their thing. I don't know. So I figured we might as well do another Donald Trump soundboard prank.
Sounds good.
So let's get into that right away. Everybody likes the prank calls. We get millions of letters every single week from people saying, we want more of the EJC prank calls. Oh, by the way, Jason isn't here. I forgot to mention that. He's out.
Nobody noticed.
Here it is. Donald Trump calling a Chinese restaurant. All right. This is an EJC exclusive prank call. All the prank calls we do here, we do ourselves.
Can I help you?
So I have two brochures so far in front of me, and I have two different phone numbers. I have to find out which number is right. I have 6711, I have 9933. Go ahead.
What do you mean, go ahead?
As I was saying, I have two brochures so far in front of me, and I have two different phone numbers. I have to find out which number is right. I have 6711, I have 9933.
I don't think that's right.
Two? Maybe four? China.
I don't know which number. I mean, what number are you talking about? The phone number for us is dialed it.
Two? 240.
For what?
China. I love China.
Okay.
Don't believe the 5.6.
5.6 what?
So are you saying you had no idea? Are you the boss?
No.
You're the boss.
On the phone right now.
Are you the boss?
No, how can I help you?
I will motivate you.
Okay.
You're not a nice person.
If this is like a joke with like Donald Trump quotes, you can like stop. Thank
no.
You.
No.
All right. Yeah, she caught on.
Can I help you?
Oops, we're repeating there.
How do people not figure it? He's a candidate for president. How are you not like after the first thing like click?
I know. Exactly. And by the way, dogs barking in the background because they thought it'd be a good idea to vacuum the hall right outside. So the dog's barking at the vacuum.
And why would you say, like, address, like, once you figure out it's a prank call, why would you try and be like, can you not do that?
I know.
What is that going to do? Just hang up.
Can you please not do that? Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's EJC and Chris show. You can find us on Twitter, of course, EJC show. We're going to come back here, talk to our guest, Mirror Eyes, and lots more. We also have another guest, too, a special guest coming up as well. Just so much to do, so much to get to.
It'll be fine. It'll be somewhere between not great and pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. It's EJC show.
Passed around more than your mom at a frat house. Listen to the podcast at ejcshow.com.
Yeah.
It's Eddie Jason and Chris Show. You can follow us on Twitter, EJC Show, also facebook.com/EJC Show. Our guest we're going to get to in just a minute, Mirror Eyes, a very cool up-and-coming band playing Warped Tour. You're going to want to check out this band because you'll be the first to know all about them, and you can tell all your friends. Yeah.
It's probably 4 years too late to bring this up and complain, but why is it Eddie Jason and Chris? Why is my name last?
Oh, well, it's
you know what? Save it.
Okay, fine.
You know, actually, I want an explanation from you.
It has to do with, it's a contractual obligation.
Mm.
All right.
Oh, really?
And you weren't there for the negotiation.
Yeah, I don't remember a contract.
Well, Jason isn't here. Why don't we just, it's be Chris.
Mm.
Why don't we just call the show Chris?
Oh, I don't want to seem like a dick.
We'll just call it Chris. Not even the Chris Show.
This isn't an ego trip. I just want to know why I don't sound more important.
Just, you're after the ampersand, he's like, oh, and then there's this guy.
Yeah.
Eddie Jason. Oh, then this.
I'm like the big movie star whose career is cooled down, and now he's on TV, and it's always like featuring so and so.
Right. Or with.
Yeah.
At the end of all the credits, like Mr. Robot. Have you seen that?
No.
It's with Christian Slater at the end of the credits. Christian Slater, whatever happened to that guy? Well, he's on Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
It's a good show, by the way. You should watch that.
He had a recurring role on Archer this last season, or like a season and a half. Like, he had a couple guest spots the season before, and he was like a recurring character.
He's kind of a weird guy. I don't know. When I watch...
Yeah, he's interesting.
He's weird to look at. In this Mr. Robot, it's just like, he has a weird delivery, and he's just kind of a weird dude.
So many of those 80s...
Hey, I'm Christian Slater.
80s stars are so hard to take seriously in any capacity. They just seem silly.
He does seem silly. Like, he's like a caricature of himself.
Yeah.
But he does great in this Mr. Robot TV show. Everybody should go watch this thing. It's the season one is out, season two's on now, but it's probably, I'll say it's the best TV since Breaking Bad. I said it.
Wow.
It's been said.
There it is.
There it is.
Throwing down the gauntlet.
I won't say too much about
that now. That's my new thing, I think.
You're throwing down the gauntlet.
Yeah. Speaking of 80s stars, I heard on the over the air radio, the fancy radio on the way here, that Scott Baio was speaking. He was like the guest speaker tonight at the RNC in Cleveland. And I was like,
what the hell does Scott Baio say?
Come on.
Really? Yeah. What do you think he says on stage?
Hi, I'm Scott Baio, and I was on Charles in Charge. So now I'm going to tell you to vote Republican.
You know, I don't think I would give a damn, but he had a pretty good recurring role on Arrested Development, and
he did. Bob Bobla.
Yeah.
I was Bob Bobla on Arrested Development. I am Scott Baio, and Donald Trump is magnificent. Everybody should vote Donald Trump. I am a leading authority when it comes to all things politics because I was in charge of three girls. Right after Happy Days, I was a responsible adult.
That's all I got for Scott Baio.
Well, I'm certainly glad I brought it up.
I couldn't get into the Scott Baio role because he's just so bland.
Yeah.
Although I did see him on Fox News talking politics. And one thing you just don't want to see sitcom stars from the 90s talking about gun control.
I don't
want to see that.
See, I don't have anything specific against that. Like, the problem is that, as a rule, they don't know what they're talking about. They're not informed or educated commentators. But, if you happen to be on TV, but you have an informed and, thought-provoking comment or position to share, like, by all means, I have nothing...
Really?
Like I'm not one of those people who are like, you're a celebrity, just shut your mouth and do your shtick.
But why do we have to go to Scott Baio for his opinion? Do we really care about Scott Baio's opinion? Is he really getting voters to switch their minds? Oh, the guy from Charles in Charge wants me to vote Trump.
I guess so.
I guess I might, no, I mean, might as well.
Yeah.
You want to hear what he's...
I see your point, though.
Listen to how boring he is when he talks politics. Here's a clip of him.
Hey, we grew up in the same neighborhood, Maria.
Let's listen to how boring he gets.
At a certain point... Sorry?
And then nothing gets done.
Nothing gets done, and they lose elections because they don't want to get... They don't want to fight. When you fight, you fight to win, and they don't ever want to fight, and I can't understand it.
You know, it's interesting because the way you're speaking, you seem to be the exact person. I mean, that is the mentality of the support behind Donald Trump. You were conservative or Republican, however you want to say it. But
you know, why do we blame Scott Baio, say, for speaking? It should be Fox News and CNN for asking them or inviting them to speak. Really, I get your criticism and I think you make a good point, but that's not...
I don't
celebrity's
know.
Fault per se.
I want to see him raising three girls on TV and having funny drop-ins on Arrested Development, and I don't want to turn on TV and have him lecture me. So the last person I want to lecture me is Scott Baio.
Would you prefer say Joni?
Who? Joni Sweden?
Whoever Joni in the Joni Loves Chachi.
Dynamic is
whoever the hell, I don't know.
The only person I think I would allow to lecture me is Jodie Sweetin.
I don't know who the hell that is.
Stephanie from Full House.
Mm.
That's about it.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
What about Kimmy Gibbler?
Nah. She's weird and awkward and... But hot in a weird way, right?
Yeah. No.
I don't know. She's
weird enough that you're like, I could get with her. I got a shot with this one.
I don't have.
I could just and if I make it through dinner, most guys are probably getting up and being like, "Bitches be crazy." If I could just make it through dessert, I'm in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
just endure the awkwardness and.
In real life, sweet ass. Yeah, in real life, I would not have a shot with DJ Tanner or Stephanie Tanner, but Kimmy Gibbler.
Yeah,
I think everybody. She's
been
got around
that them. Girl next door thing.
Yeah,
everybody
she's
loves,
the girl next door, isn't she?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know. I don't know her role on that.
Everybody loves the nerdy, awkward chick because they're just so they seem less threatening.
Right. Right.
And I feel like when they
and
throw
she seems,
the hot girl in the role and just give her glasses, it's like, no.
No, you have to...
You can't do that.
And this you're Kimmy Gibbler...
Breaking the illusion.
Doesn't she also like have the aura and essence of someone who is very sexually liberated?
I guess.
She probably
All did. I know is thank God that this is on Netflix again, or we would just be so out of touch and dated right now.
Oh, that's why I'm bringing it up. Fuller House. Renewed for a second season, too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
I know. Why don't we get our guest on the line? Mirror Eyes. Yeah, we're dialing Jess, the singer, right now. Live on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Jess. It's Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. You're live on Adobe Radio. How are you?
Hey, what's up? I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. I'm Eddie here, and Chris is here.
What's up?
So, Mirror Eyes, your awesome band. Congrats on your recent success. What are you up to?
Thank you. I was actually just sitting here listening to you guys, and then you started calling. I was really confused because I was like, oh, there's a delay, but
there is a delay.
That didn't register with me for a second. So I was like, what is happening? But
are you a fan of Scott Baio talking politics on Fox News?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you guys,
how exciting.
It is exciting, isn't it? What do you think of all this, this craziness going on with the presidential election?
I honestly do not even pay attention to it. Like,
good.
I'm not a political person, and I never have been, and I don't think I ever really will be.
I don't blame you. I mean, it's probably best to ignore everything that's going on right now and just play music.
The best course of action is just don't get involved. It can't possibly affect any of us.
Yeah. Well, you guys, you started your band in early 2015, so you guys are a baby band, huh?
We are.
How did it all come together?
We actually all met online. I met Emily on Tumblr, actually, and I guess Emily started talking to Kevin, our bassist, through Instagram, and she was supposed to play in one of his older bands, and one thing led to another, and we kind of all just decided to create something new.
Were you guys all in the same area?
I'm sorry?
Were you guys all... Wow. Was she just abducted by aliens?
Oh, man. I don't know.
But hello? Was, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here now.
What was that? Are you okay?
I don't know what's happening. You were on speakerphone, but now I turned you off, so maybe this will be better.
Sounded like you were zapped by a laser.
Oh yeah, that did happen for a second.
Hello, are you okay? Fine. All right.
Yeah, well, no worries.
It saves on getting waxes done, I guess. But so you guys when you met online, were you all in the same area?
No, actually. Kevin, our bassist, and Brandon, our rhythm guitarist, were out in Jersey. Emily, the drummer, and Sam, the lead guitarist, they were both in the Louisville area, and then at the time I was in Michigan, so we were all spread out quite a bit.
And how did you all come together?
We're still in that process. Kevin and Brandon are moving actually from Jersey, like, recently. Kevin just moved the past like week or so. And Brandon is on his way to be moving to Louisville in about, I don't know, I think like a week. So happening now, but
why don't you guys, like, meet in L.A. or something?
We should. That would be fun. But,
yeah. So you guys plan to, like, eventually. You guys plan to write and record and hang out, and everybody's going to move in the Michigan area?
No, I'm in Nashville now.
Oh,
so
okay.
We're kind of basing ourselves now out of the Louisville area, because I'm only about 3 hours from there now, so it's much easier on us now to write and practice and everything now that we're not 10 hours from each other.
Do you have any connection to the Nashville music scene or any sort of love for that genre?
I don't hate country music. I actually was in a more like folky kind of band before this. I can play banjo and mandolin and all that.
Ooh,
fun
cool
stuff.
Do you have a banjo nearby?
I do not. Oh. I do not have a banjo nearby.
I'd like to hear some banjo playing.
Maybe one day we'll throw that in a Mirror Eye song, if the guys let me.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Electric banjo. Electric banjo.
Would you consider would you consider yourselves pop punk at all, or just more alternative rock?
I mean, it's hard to pinpoint.
Right.
Because we are so, like, into so many different bands. And so we try to put a little bit of everything into our song.
Well, I feel like you should really throw some banjos, like, in like, a song like this with some... some banjos. Yeah, can you imagine like a banjo version of Hold Your Breath?
I think I'm gonna have to do that, actually.
Yeah, put it on YouTube.
Even if it's just a little YouTube video, I'm gonna have to do it now.
Yeah, we'll post it at adobe.com if you do it.
Oh, for sure. All right.
Yeah.
That's my next plan. After Warped Tour, that's what I'm sitting down in a putting my mind to.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be awesome. Groundbreaking. I think more people need to appreciate the banjo.
They do. It's lovely.
And, well, congratulations on being asked to play the main stage at Warped Tour at your hometown stop, Detroit, Michigan, coming up here.
Oh, thank you.
That must be exciting on Friday. Wow. Are you ready for this?
Oh yeah. Warped Tour is actually our first show together.
Oh really?
Last year.
Then how'd you?
Oh, that's a great anniversary for you guys.
That
I know. It's
and that's also a lot of faith that's being put in your band by Kevin Lyman to throw you guys up on the main stage.
I know. We're super, super thankful. And him and Chad Gilbert, we have a lot to owe to him too for doing the whole Ernie Ball contest.
Oh, okay. So it was Chad Gilbert from Newfound Glory?
Yeah. Okay. He's doing the Ernie Ball play contest. And so that's how we got on. I guess he handpicked some bands, and we were one of them.
Okay. So I didn't realize it was a contest that you won, but that's awesome. Well-deserved.
Yeah. One band got chosen per date, one local band. And so we got chosen for my hometown, which is awesome, and I'm super excited because I have a bunch of family coming out. And it still puts us in the running to win the grand prize. And
what's the grand prize?
We get to record with Chad. We would do like a 3-song EP type of thing. A bunch of cool like gear and everything. Honestly, if we don't win, that would be perfectly fine. I just think it's awesome to be able to play main stage.
Yeah, that's really cool.
In my hometown. Like, that's kind of more so what I'm focusing on, just having a good time.
Are you nervous since you guys haven't played together before?
Oh, no. We've played together before. Oh. Last year. Yeah, last year was our first show,
oh, okay.
Together. Warped Tour last year.
Gotcha. Okay. I misunderstood.
Yeah.
I guess I saw some photos on your website of you guys all playing together, so I don't know what I'm thinking.
Those are Photoshopped. We just like to pretend.
Right. Everything is Photoshopped. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show. Nice to talk to you, and I think you guys are going to be big.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me.
Absolutely.
That's the prediction. One year from now, you'll be so big that you'll turn down any interview offer that we give your publicist.
Oh, definitely not.
It'll be way too big for this show. Way too big for this
show. You guys introduced me back into the banjo, so...
Right.
So, I owe it to you.
Well, you better do that. We're going to hold you to it, because we're going to post it at adobe.com, but now everybody is expecting it.
All right. I'm going to do it. I promise. You have my word.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to play Hold Your Breath, and anything you want to say about this track before we hit it?
Hold Your Breath is probably one of my favorites that we've written. We actually co-wrote this one with Ace Enders of the Early November. Super thankful that we got that opportunity. That was huge for us. But I love everything Hold Your Breath is about and everything it's done for us so far. So, yeah, thank you for playing this one.
I left you in the water to drown, clothes soaked through just to pulling you down. Give me a room to hush the sound so I don't hear the waves come and wash you out. I was looking for a reason to stay, waste your time, now you're drifting away. I was looking for a reason to stay, a reason to stay.
Hold your breath, 'cause when it starts out, you can't.
Yeah, there you go. Mirror Eyes and Hold Your Breath. Pretty good song, right?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I can hear that. I hear that being played on the radio right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
That should be played. I think we're playing it on Adobe here, but I think it's gonna blow up, and everybody's going to be talking about it.
We're breaking artists left and right. You know, this is where they said it before. It's the EJC bump.
It is.
You know? They come here before they get huge, and then they just are.
Then they never talk to
all
us
over
again.
The place. Yeah.
Well,
let's not focus on that anymore. It makes a sense.
You're right. It's more just a joke, though.
Your life is a joke.
That is true.
That part is
that,
true.
That went too far.
No, it's true. It is a joke. It's just a big, fat joke.
Well, I know it's true, but I shouldn't have said it.
We're going to talk to another guest here in a little bit. Stephanie Osborne. She's the Interstellar Woman of Mystery. And she's a rocket scientist. She, I guess, did a lot of work on a lot of really cool projects, space-related projects. And she wants to come on the show.
That should be very interesting. I don't recall ever talking to a rocket scientist before on the show, so
yeah,
it'll be new for us.
Maybe she can tell us what's wrong with our lives and the show in general.
That doesn't sound like her
specialty.
Yeah, but... She sounds like a bright woman. She might have some sort of insight. So, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll touch on it.
But first, big thanks to Coors Banquet. Everybody go get some Coors Banquet beer this summer. There's a town in Colorado called Golden. Founded during the Gold Rush, it was home to miners who spent 12 hours a day in the frozen ground digging for gold.
But that land was rich in another resource, the Rocky Mountain water that runs cold and clear.
One man knew the value of that water. That man was Mr. Coors. In 1873, he settled in Golden to brew the finest beer that town had ever tasted. You know, since this copy's the same every week, maybe we should do a game where we try to memorize it.
The miners were grateful because when they sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. A beer that came to be known as
the Banquet Beer.
Coors. The Banquet Beer.
The Banquet Beer.
Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
This is Eddie, Jason, and Chris. EJCShow.com.
It is the Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. Yes, he was right. The little announcer guy. Believe it or not, you are listening to the EJC Show. All right, our next guest... she is an interstellar woman of mystery. Are you ready to talk to her?
I honestly don't know, but she's coming on. So,
all right,
let's do it. Let's see what she's all about
via Skype. Her name is Stephanie Osborne. Let's get her on, and then I'll tell you all about her once she's on, so she can correct me when I mess it up. Hello, Miss Osborne.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So you are an interstellar woman of mystery.
Right? The one and only.
You are a rocket scientist, and you have, for over 20 years, you worked in the civilian and military space programs as a mission flight coordinator, astronaut trainer, crew procedures developer, schedule developer, and you've done it all.
I try.
She was a mission flight controller.
Is that what I said?
You said coordinator.
Oh.
Same difference.
Oh,
same
is
difference.
It? Okay. Well, congratulations on all that. So you are a real rocket scientist.
I am.
And what, you know, how many times do you hear rocket scientist jokes being a rocket scientist?
Oh, yeah, all the time. You know what's worse, though? I'm blonde.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So how did this happen?
I was born that way.
Okay.
No, I've got a strong Celtic and Nordic ancestry. I was born blonde. When I was a kid, you know, I watched the space program growing up, and I said, this is what I want to do. And so I just, from elementary school, I set out to be a rocket scientist.
Wow.
I'm not joking.
It's not every day you get to talk to a rocket scientist, so I'm very pleased that you're on the show, and thank you for your interest in coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're an author as well. You've done a lot. You write a lot of like science novelists, fiction type yeah. books.
Yes. I have a distinct my two favorite genres are science fiction and mystery, and I have a tendency to combine those two genres, hence the nom de guerre Interstellar Woman of Mystery, yeah. which was actually given to me by a fan. So,
hey, when you're given a great nickname, you gotta run with it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, it is quite the title. That's a bit bit intimidating. I guess, you know, you're an expert when it comes to space and space news. What's happening in space?
Oh, well, all kinds of stuff as usual. We've got the new probe that entered Juno that entered the Jovian orbit here recently. We've got some stuff going on with the various and sundry.
Well, tell me more about that one.
Pardon?
Tell me more about the probe.
Oh, I've got some weird background sounds. It sounds like somebody's on helium there.
I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about. Can you hear us? Hello?
Yeah, but it sounds really weird.
Go ahead.
I'll try.
We'll just try to ignore it. I'm not sure. I think it might just be on your end.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, you know, there's so much stuff to learn about the entire Jovian system. Jupiter is probably was very nearly a star in its own right, so we were almost in a binary star system. It needed maybe 10. It depends on who you talk to as to what the numbers run, but 10 to 100 times its current mass, and it might have actually initiated fusion in its core. And of course, it's got those cool, you know, there's a whole system of satellites around it, so it's kind of like a mini solar system in its own right.
Interesting.
But there's so much now, to learn.
Well, when do you think we're going to make alien contact?
Oh, heavens above. Well, you know, that's a really cool question, and I've actually been
really happening happen in our lifetimes.
It could, but I'm not holding my breath. Have you ever heard of something called the Fermi paradox?
Yes, I have. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't it say that we are the universe is expanding at a rate at which we will never likely meet life, essentially?
No, it's basically you've heard of Enrico Fermi, the famous physicist. He worked on the Manhattan Project to develop the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
Well, Fermi was a genius, just absolute flat out. He could do calculations in his head that other people had to sit down and write reams of paper to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they got evidently they got into a big discussion. There was a series of UFO sightings, and they got into a big discussion over lunch one day. And you know, it was where are they from? Could they be aliens? Is there intelligent life in the universe outside of planet Earth? The whole usual stuff that you talk about when stuff like that comes up.
Yeah.
And so Fermi sat there, and he got this glazed look in his eyes, which told everybody that he's working on something. So they kind of talked around him for a little bit. And finally, the next words out of his mouth were, "Well, then where are they?"
Right.
The man had sat down. He had worked out the Drake equation, derived the Drake equation in his head, managed to estimate values for all the variables in the equation, and come to the conclusion that there must be intelligent life out there somewhere, so why hadn't we encountered it? Why did we not have actual proof of contact?
Uh-huh.
Because we don't.
Right.
And so, you know, this is the nature of the Fermi paradox. They should be out there. All the numbers look like they should be out there. So where are they? And so there are all these different scientists over the years have tried to sit down and figure out different explanations for the Fermi paradox. And there are all kinds of possible explanations ranging from Earth is under quarantine to they managed to blow themselves up before they ever make it out to other stellar systems to they really just aren't interested, you know, and all kinds of variations on that plus more.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I am. I haven't yet seen any kind of evidence.
So now, were you working for NASA?
I was working for a NASA contractor.
Okay. And in your time there, did anything otherworldly or unexplained happen?
No.
there were never any UFOs?
No. Nothing that couldn't be readily explained.
Area 51 does play a role in your first novel, though, correct?
Oh, it does. But you know what? I had friends that had been stationed out there and that had worked not in Area 51, but around Area 51. And we know what Area 51 is and was, and it's mostly was these days. It was a place where we were developing our next generation aircraft.
Right. Yeah, so, at least that's the public explanation, correct?
It is the explanation.
So you're telling me that there is not an alien being housed,
correct,
underneath Area 51.
Paxton, I can use this stuff to make some really cool science fiction stories.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean I believe it.
Gotcha. So you don't think that the government has made contact with... Did you see this weird news story that was floating around a little bit ago there saying that President Obama was going to finally let everybody know that there indeed is extraterrestrial life?
Honey, they've been saying that for how many presidents now?
Yeah. Well, is this one true?
You know... No, it's no more true than it was for any of the others.
Why can't you make it so aliens are here? As somebody who worked at NASA and a rocket scientist, can't you build something that brings them in and we can just be done with?
Stop and think for a minute, okay?
No,
is that something we really want to do?
Absolutely, it would be. It'd make a great reality TV series.
You're presuming that they're friendly.
See,
you're presuming that they're all going to be friendly.
I've seen ET.
I'm of the mind that if
I've seen The Day the Earth Stood Still. I've seen them Romulans and the Klingons. And,
Mr. Spock was nice.
Yes, but don't necessarily presume. Look at Earth.
Well, we're not nice. Probably a bigger threat to the aliens than they are us.
Not necessarily.
Well,
if they have the capability to get here, what does that say about their technology?
I've been of the mind since I've been an adult that if a alien race, what have you, is intelligent enough and advanced enough to master interstellar travel. You know, if they're so scientifically advanced, wouldn't they also be socially and philosophically advanced? You know?
Are we?
Oh, we haven't progressed as far as they have, but I believe that
But we've progressed far enough that we've got interstellar spacecraft out there.
Well, aren't we only a type 2 civilization, right?
There's actually, it's generally thought that one of the possible solutions to the Fermi paradox is that we're among the first.
Right. I mean, which would be remarkable.
So there may not be anybody that's older than we are to speak of.
Which would be quite frightening. I mean, when you're working in the space program.
Now you're getting it. Yes, it would be quite frightening. So if they have only had as long as we have had to advance socially and emotionally and moralistically, but they've got tech that's more advanced than ours, advanced enough to reach us from their system. Is this a species that you really want to meet?
Possibly.
Possibly, and possibly not.
Are there women attractive? I'd like to meet them.
You need to go to my website, and you need to hunt up the video I've got there. I was on a panel with several other scientists and science fiction writers of various sorts, to include Dr. Travis Taylor, who writes science fiction and has about as many degrees, about as many degrees as I do, and Howard Taylor, who writes the webcomic Schlock Mercenary.
Yeah.
And Dr. Robert Hampson, who works for Wake Forest University as a neuroscientist. And we sat down and we brainstormed alien life.
All right.
And
what was the conclusion?
It had nothing. It looked nothing at all like us.
What did it look like?
The particular alien life form that we brainstormed basically had distributed sentience.
Uh-huh.
It was a parasite. It was parasitic in nature. It communicated via, it was basically pheromonal squid ink.
Mm.
The entire planet's worth of creatures were basically one gigantic hive mind.
We're kind of moving in that direction ourselves, aren't we, as human beings? We're sort of like parasites in a way, and we're moving towards one giant hive mind with the internet.
Oh, no, not in this fashion. We're not. We still think independently.
Well, we're moving towards singularity, where everybody's going to be uploading their minds to one single hive mind eventually.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, you're not going to do it?
No.
Ah, well, you'll just have to be killed. We can't have you being rebellious.
did I mention I've studied karate and I used to be a law enforcement officer?
Well,
you're a woman of many different hats.
Yes, you are.
Yes. Well, the law enforcement, I was working with a Native American reservation, and they needed some, I would call it part-time law enforcement, and they needed somebody that had the capacity to look at a forensic report and understand it.
This sounds like a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
You could probably go there with it, yeah. But anyway, I knew what I was doing, and I had the science background to look at the forensics reports. So,
interesting. Well, you've done it all, and you're continuing to do it. Your books.
I try.
Everybody, I assume you're on Amazon. Everybody can go
absolutely
get your work there. It is Stephanie Osborne. Just Google her. She'll come up.
Stephanie-Osborne.com.
Over 30 books that you've published, so everybody can go read up on you. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show to chat a little bit about this. If anything breaking happens in space news, you're more than welcome to come on the show and talk to us about it and plug everything you have going on.
Well, thank you very much.
You'll be our go-to commentator for space news.
And if the aliens do come, we'll talk to you first.
Absolutely. If the aliens do come, I'm either going to be out there with a flamethrower or I'm going to be one of the people wanting to shake their hands, depending.
Well, I like how you go to flamethrower first, though, so you're not being very welcoming.
Like I said, it depends.
Yeah.
I'm tending to expect more of the need for the flamethrower than I am a handshake.
No. Okay. Well, you're being cautious. All right.
You strike me as the vial is half empty of alien goo, sort of on the subject.
Not, you know what? I'm actually by nature, I'm actually an optimist, but I'm a scientist. A scientist is a trained skeptic.
Well, very true. We appreciate science and all the work that it and all the. I love science and scientists. Where would we be without science? We'd be thinking the Bible's real.
Well, no, we'd be further back than that. We'd be living in caves.
Well, yes.
All right, well, we'd be playing Pokemon Go with rocks.
Right.
Yeah, and saber-tooth tigers.
Well, thank you, Stephanie Osborne, for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
Anytime.
All right.
Bye-bye. There she is. What a nice lady.
Indeed.
She's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be honest. That was a... that interview could have gone, you know, good or bad. You know, we don't know who this individual is necessarily. You know, some people can talk themselves up or
right.
write some things that are complete fabrications, ultimately. But she was the real deal.
Right. Very smart lady. David in Australia, you're on the air. David in Australia, go ahead.
Hello.
There he is, David in Australia.
Hello, Eddie. Hello, Chris.
So, how are you doing, man?
Did you learn a lot from that guest that we just had on?
Yeah,
that was pretty fascinating. Yeah.
What was your favorite part of the interview?
That's killing me. I can't. I didn't want to step on your toes during the interview, but it's getting under my skin.
What is
the effect?
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the damn effect he's throwing on. He was trying to give us alien voices.
Why don't you like it?
I don't know. It's
you don't want to be an alien?
It's a hair juvenile. No offense. Like being a little bit juvenile is fine, but
breath.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels just too silly. I can't. Yeah.
You don't want to be an alien, is what you're trying to say.
I.
What about you, David? Do you want to be an alien?
Sure. Hook it up.
All right. Go ahead. Now you're an alien. Say something.
What's going on? I see it. I can't hear it. Relay, so it's not too bad for me.
All right. You can't really hear it. It's not going to be the same for you. But you don't like the alien effect, Chris, at all?
No.
Why not?
I mean, it's fun off the air, but it's like a little kid's idea of what an alien sounds like. I don't know. It just...
Oh, do you want something more demonic? Is that what you're trying to say?
Sure, yeah. This is just silly. Is the alien wasted?
I don't know. There's only so much we can do. Now we are evil aliens.
No, I like that. That was good.
We should do the whole show like this.
You sound eviler than I do.
Ready to devour your soul.
David in Australia, go ahead. You're on Satan chat with Satan.
Satan, how is hell today?
What's your question for me?
Yes, it's fine. It's as hot as
something.
And I'm his co-host, Demon Hitler. Thanks for tuning in.
David in Australia, you're on the air. What's your question for Satan today?
From the pit to where you sit, it's the Devil and Hitler show.
Did I really see you sitting with Jesus holding hands yesterday?
We were not holding hands. It's a lie. It was not happening.
It was an ambush. I think he's making a documentary with Michael Moore. It was a setup. We were caught off guard. It's not representative. We're not endorsing. It just is, the whole thing's gotten out of hand. It, you know, the context has been completely lost. And, frankly, I think it was a juvenile stunt. And, I feel like, frankly, Jesus is above that sort of thing. But, you know what it is, what it is, and what's done is done, and that can't be changed now. So I just want to move on. You know, me and the devil, we have a lot of real issues we want to get to, a lot of important things going on in the world and the afterlife.
Sound like a professional athlete making an apology.
You know, there's climate change, there's, questions of... whether the kids are still into demonic possession, gun control,
Ouija board sales. At an all-time low, we need to do something about that in this quarter.
Have you been drinking?
Satan's always hammered. How do you think I get away with murdering and torture so many people? That's how I feel okay about what I do.
You know what, Devil? You talk a big game, but I killed 14 million people.
Are you Lucifer and I'm the Devil?
I know they're the same. Demon Hitler. How?
Oh, wait, you're Hitler.
I'm Demon Hitler.
Demon Hitler. Okay. I
thought we were
I didn't know
friends.
Who you were.
I thought we were friends.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. We co-host the podcast, and you just ask me who I am.
I really liked your dick. I liked what you did in the 1930s. Some good work that you had going on there. But
you know, just because you're the Devil doesn't mean you have to be an asshole.
Well, yeah.
We could be evil but still civil. You know, it doesn't have to get personal. We don't have to be nasty or childish.
The Devil has feelings.
You know?
Well,
you have eternal hellfire. Why do you need to, like, belittle people?
Well, Hitler, I'd like to officially apologize to you. I've let my Satan-ness get to my head, and, you know, sometimes when you are the
Lord of hell, but, you know, like with the Jesus thing, I just want to move on. I can't...
People kiss my ass all day, then you come along and you don't take my crap, and for that I respect you. You're a good man.
All right. Well, I'm a demon. But
demon.
No, I'm your chief lieutenant. I don't understand how you don't understand who or what I am.
I dropped out of community college. What can I say?
I just... You know what? It's no wonder you got your ass thrown out of heaven, alright? You decide you're going to try and overthrow God, and he has a 2-to-1 advantage.
I feel like we're being a bit judgmental.
I'm just saying, it was stupid.
I have feelings too.
What did you think was going to happen?
You're thinking the Devil's taking over the radio.
You know, when I invaded France and I invaded Russia, at least I had the men. You know,
I feel like you're being trolling hard on me. How many people did you kill? Only 3 million Jews? I killed millions.
6 million Jews and 6 million Poles.
I killed
gypsies, all the sexuals, the disabled, in murder camps in 4 years. That's pretty damn good, okay? I'm not even talking about the war. I mean, we carpet bombed half of Europe.
Why don't you
talk the geography?
Why don't you talk to me when you created Miley Cyrus? Like,
what did you do? You talked some stupid naked bitch into eating a piece of fruit. Whoop-de-damn-doo. You know?
I feel like you don't respect me anymore.
I don't know. The street's going two ways, man. Because we had a lot of good topics on the docket tonight. I was excited to talk about climate change.
It's Satan Chat. You can call Satan at 1-888-99-IDOBE with Demon Hitler. And go ahead, David in Australia.
Thank you. I'm just sitting back enjoying that lovely chat. Stalin is involved as well, yes?
Stalin's a bitch. You want? Don't ever talk to me about Stalin, all right? You know, that guy's just as sick and messed up as I am. You know, but then I invade Russia and suddenly he's this martyr. And everybody's like, oh, poor Uncle Joe, we gotta help Uncle Joe. Oh, the Hitler and the Nazis are being mean. They have, you know, roaming assassin squads slaughtering the Russians indiscriminately. Poor Stalin.
Oh,
that guy's
God.
A dick. He's a dick. And, you know, frankly, he wasn't half the man I was then, and he's not half the demon I am now.
But, right. You know, on a positive note, he can make one hell of an omelet.
I'll give him since when the hell can Stalin make an omelet? They don't even do omelets in Russia, presumably.
You're so negative. demon Hitler. It's negativity all the time.
And if you wanted to make an omelet, you'd probably have to stand in line for 12 hours. You know, I might have been a genocidal warmonger, but at least, you know, the economy was strong in Germany. Well, can't say that.
Oh, well, David in Australia, thanks for calling up on the Satan Show.
Thank you very much. I've been enlightened and demified. Thank you.
May your soul burn in eternity.
But may your intellect burn with knowledge.
Eddie, Jason, and Chris. EJCShow.com.
It's the Eddie Jason.
Oh, Jesus.
It's the Eddie Jason and Chris Show. Oh, I see it. It came back. It got me. I forgot we had that effect on for Satan Chat. Follow us on Twitter if you haven't done that yet. We are EJC Show on Twitter. You can do that. Well, let's play a quick game here.
Oh, boy. These always go well.
Yeah, a little game we should play. You know, the.
Let's play a game, Mr. Bond. You look like a sporting gentleman.
The Republican National Convention is going on right now. Let's get David in Australia on the line, because I know that he's listening and he likes to be part of the show. And normally we'd have...
Saints are kind of gotten the way.
Right.
We always like having a real discussion with the man. He's a good guy.
Right. Normally we'd have Jason here, but he's not with us. David in Australia, how are you?
He's alive. He just isn't here.
What's going on again?
Sorry, you were accosted by Satan earlier.
He possessed our
demon Hitler. Yeah. They possessed our bodies, and we were not in control of anything that happened earlier in the show. So we apologize.
You know, I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I got to say... Demon Hitler sounded like a stand-up demon, as far as demons go. I don't know.
Well, let's play this game. David, we called you because we want you to play this game. You and Chris are going to play together. You want to play a little game?
I'll play a game.
All right.
That sounds a little screamish, but
he's going to play a game. Yes. All right, we have David in Australia playing against Chris. The game is... Republican or Kardashian. We have quotes.
See, is this entirely fair? Like, I mean, you know, I know the world watches American presidential politics, but he is in Australia. He didn't necessarily know everything.
The Kardashian problem is just as rife. So, yeah, don't stress. I'm sure. Right.
He's fine. Yeah. And, you know, there's only so much we can do since Jason can't be here. It's Republican or Kardashian. These are quotes by famous Republicans. And then also quotes by Kim Kardashian. And you guys have to guess, is it a Republican or a Kardashian?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, all right.
This could be fun.
Here we go.
Is it a first-person answer here? We just shout it out.
Sure.
Okay.
Why don't you say your name as your buzzer? Okay, David.
I think they are able to tell our voices apart. We'll just shout it out.
Fine.
We'll just shout it out.
Fine. Okay. Here's the quote. Quote: "It's time to recognize the American genocide." Was that a Republican or Kim Kardashian?
Kardashian.
Ah, yeah. I was gonna say Kardashian too, but he beat me to it.
And congratulations, you got that one.
I believe the Kardashian family or whatever her mom's last name is are Armenian, and there was an Armenian genocide, and
okay,
apparently she doesn't know where her family is from.
Next quote, trees cause more pollution than automobiles. Was that a Kardashian or
Republicans?
Republican.
And you both got that one right. Okay, next quote.
I feel like I got to it first.
Yeah,
but,
I think Chris got it.
That was keep it score. It's fine.
Chris got that one.
It's a friendly game.
Next quote. Quote, "What I don't know is what the unexpected might be."
Republican.
Republican. Yeah.
That was John McCain.
Yep.
Next quote. Quote, I would rather have been beaten up in the media than live a life that wasn't happy.
Kardashian.
Okay, that was an easy one. Next quote. You can always follow me.
Are there hard ones?
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Next quote. Quote, you can always follow me on Twitter.
Oh, that's not fair.
Kardashian or Republican?
Kardashian.
Republican.
That was Republican. That was Rick Perry. Oh, he invited it. Everybody to follow him on Twitter.
Damn it all.
Quote, what a terrible thing to have lost one's mind. What a terrible thing to have lost one's mind or not to have a mind at all. How true that is. Republican or Kardashian?
Kardashian, I guess.
No, that was Dan Quayle. next quote. I love California. I practically grew up in Phoenix.
Republican.
That was Dan Quayle again.
I don't think the kids know who Dan Quayle was. Former vice president to George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yeah. Next quote. We're again playing Republican or Kardashian. Who said these quotes? Next quote. Or Kim Kardashian. You know, these are all Kim Kardashian quotes. I am the true definition of a workaholic.
Oh, Kardashian.
Kardashian.
Yep, that is correct.
She works that ass. A holic.
Next quote. How do you say delicious in Cuban?
Oh, Republican.
Yeah.
Herman Cain said that. They speak Spanish in Cuba.
Duh. What did he say?
How do you say delicious in Cuban?
Oh.
All right.
Cubano.
Last quote. I know the human being and... excuse me. All right. I there might be a typo on this one. I don't know. But I'm gonna read it as it's quoted. I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Kardashian. Republican?
So you say Kardashian, David, and then Chris says Republican.
Yeah.
Chris, you got that right. That was George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Damn, Bush.
All right, that was Republican or Kardashian.
That man was a disaster, but you had to admit he was entertaining.
Right.
This is what's wrong with America.
Thanks, Jason. We love and miss you, right. I guess.
Well, David, on behalf of all America, I want to apologize to you and the world for everything that we're doing here. So before we let you go.
No worries. The Kardashian thing is unforgivable, but everything else we'll let slide.
Hey, in our defense, we elected Obama twice. That was pretty good.
And he's black. How'd that happen?
And now he's going to go to a woman president.
I don't really see color, you know.
Well, that's a medical condition.
Obama's
you
black.
Need to get checked out.
I had no idea.
I hope for your sake that Hillary beats Donald Trump. So,
yeah, Hillary needs to stop
committing treason.
Yeah. Oh, you're not helping, Eddie. That's not helpful. But Hillary does need to stop dropping the ball. It's like...
You guys are so racist, you know.
It's like a Three Stooges episode. This election cycle.
I know, all bumping into each other. Oops, bloop, bloop, bloop. Yeah.
Yeah. The parties must just. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you very much for letting me be a part of the game, boys.
Thank you.
All right. Cheers. Fun. Cheers, David in Australia.
No worries. Talk soon. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Should we throw some news stories?
Sure. The party elders must just be going crazy with these candidates.
What are you talking about? Hillary Clinton is a party elder at this point.
Well, the other party elders.
Oh.
You know.
You think? They should be. But at the same time, you know, since there's only two parties to choose from, they're not that worried, you know?
And they have both candidates have failed to capitalize on the just unbelievable blunders of the other side.
Like
Hillary should be running away with this thing, but she's not because of this.
Because she knows that if she attacks Trump and does a low blow on Trump, he's going to have a million things to say back. So she's trying to she's treading water lightly.
See, I think she should go on the attack.
I do too.
People.
Why not?
Go on. You know, when Trump just says all that crap all the time, people are going to stop paying attention. But, if you're going to try and treat him like a regular candidate, you're going to risk losing your grasp on this thing because this is not a conventional election. It isn't.
This is why democracy doesn't work.
You can't treat Trump like he's a regular candidate. He is.
Oh wait, Chris, we have to keep the kids interested in politics. Continue with your thought. I didn't mean to interrupt your thought.
We
have to keep the kids interested in it. Go ahead.
Good.
I didn't want to interrupt your thought. I wanted you to finish your thought.
No, that's fine. I appreciate it. But I honestly don't remember what I was driving at. I don't even remember the last thing I said.
Why do the kids?
But it was important. That much I'm sure of.
The kids love that sound for some reason, don't they? That horn.
It reminds them of laser tag.
This is just it.
It combines the two things that kids love most: laser tag and twerking.
Yes. What's in the news?
Michael Jackson wanted to marry his 12-year-old British goddaughter or 11-year-old Harry Potter star Emma Watson, so says his doctor, Conrad Murray.
That's the doctor that killed him, isn't it?
Yes. Murray was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in Jackson's death in 2011 and spent 2 years in prison. He has now written a tell-all book about the king of pop. He writes that Jackson's first choice for marriage was Harriet, the daughter of friend and Oliver child actor Mark Lester, but Emma Watson soon became his second choice.
Oh my god.
His former doc also claims Jackson would dress up as a clown and wear surgical masks so he could romp with call girls and not be recognized.
Oh, that is frightening, isn't it?
Is it?
Oh my
god. The call girl thing or the...
Dressing up as a clown with a mask on just so you could... Oh...
Don't be so judgmental on that. You're gonna focus
creepy.
On that instead of the.
Isn't that creepy?
The little girl. Love?
I would not watch that porn if I came across it. It'd creep me the f out if I saw a guy dressed as a clown.
Are you scared of clowns?
I think I may be a little bit. They're
That's
creepy. They're very creepy. And if I see one in a mask, getting it on, I don't know. I that'll ruin porn for me.
I guess I kind of understand clown fear, but I don't. Really,
this is interesting because I was never afraid of clowns until I think I'm not saying that I'm afraid of clowns now, but they creep me out more in the past year.
Last week,
I just watched it. I actually played this this game on the Xbox. It's called The Park, and it's like this indie title. It's a horror game, and you walk around this amusement park, and you do all these weird missions, but. It just really f's with your head, and there's a lot of clowns in there.
That sounds.
It's
fun.
More about scaring you than it is actually playing a game, and that may have ruined clowns for me.
But what do you make of this Michael Jackson thing? Because a couple of months ago, I don't feel like we talked about it, but somebody hacked the LAPD and LA County attorney's office. General or whatever the hell, and released a bunch of files they had about Michael Jackson, from their investigation of him when they took him to court. But they mixed that in with a bunch of stuff that they had fabricated, so it was this real evidence mixed in with this fabricated stuff, and the fabricated stuff was really outlandish.
He was watching the animal mutilation. So that was fabricated?
Yeah, that part was. And
you hear these things in the media, and they never publicized the retraction.
Yeah, the LAPD and the attorney's office, neither very good friends, obviously, of Michael Jackson, but they came out and called it out and said that that did not come from them. But there apparently were files from his case, and I guess he had like a lot of pornography and like a lot of like,
but what guy
barely
doesn't?
Legal, but. But no, like, the most
difference
interesting...
between barely legal and underage, though. Was it barely legal or was it underage?
It was barely legal, the magazine.
Oh, that's fine. That's legal, though. It's barely.
But I guess just legal. He also had, like pictures of, like, naked kids, but, oh. Like, in a not pornographic context.
Right, like a National Geographic-type context.
Or, like nudist things, but... I'll tell you the most interesting thing to me about all this is that if all this is true, then Michael Jackson really was straight. Like, and I wasn't sure. Like, apart from the whole, like, you
what,
know,
what are you,
it,
what are you talking
have,
about? They were females that were nude in these?
No, like, he's reading, like, Barely Legal, right?
Oh.
That's a heterosexual porn magazine, and he's running around with call girls.
Ah.
Like, he was into the ladies, apparently.
That's an interesting observation. Yeah, you know, like, I didn't even think of that, because, yeah, everybody always thought, you know, Michael Jackson, little boys, so...
Or was
you're thinking
gay,
that he was...
But it sounds like he, like...
Do you think that he was into underage girls, or what?
Well, apart from the question whether or not he was a pedophile, at a minimum, he was also interested in adult women, right?
Yeah, because that is that's a revelation.
I'm obviously not a, you know, psychiatrist or expert on, like,
well, but
sexual
if,
predators.
But if he's having sex with call girls, he apparently is interested in women, you know?
Yeah, as far as I understand it, which I admit is not very far, but, if you are a pedophile, you know, it doesn't seem to make a difference if you're interested in... underage boys or girls, whether or not you also have heterosexual or homosexual interest in adults.
Right.
Right. Yeah, like you could have exclusive interest in adult women, but then have a pedophilic interest in boys, and like being interested in boys didn't necessarily make you gay. And yeah, so his being interested in adult women doesn't preclude anything else, but at a minimum, it seems like he was straight. I mean, possibly bi, but yeah. Like, I remember as a kid, like, it was always like, Michael Jackson is gay. That's what, you know,
oh,
that,
really?
Was, that was like the
I don't
playground.
Remember that. I don't remember that as a kid.
That was like the playground consensus.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay.
Like, he's a weirdo. He must be gay.
Well, you know, different time.
Different time, and, you know, obviously he was very young, but...
That was before we knew Ellen was gay. Completely different time.
Yeah. But, like, you know, people were, like, when he was married to Maria Presley, like, everybody was like, yeah, right. You know?
Yeah. Actually, I do remember that.
Yeah, like, when
she
seemed kind of like a beard.
Right. Everybody thought it was, you know, just kind of like for show.
Cover, yeah.
It's just,
whatever he was into that didn't seem like it was it.
What I kind of think is where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's just all these weird allegations about his sexuality and things that he was doing that may have been a bit nefarious when it comes to underage individuals. And why would all this come up from multiple sources? And at different times, you know, why would it keep coming up if it weren't true?
Well, if what wasn't true, and I'm not trying to be difficult, but
the
like,
allegations of him being a pedophile, because they've come up several times in different.
He could have behaved inappropriately with underage boys or kids, what have you, but there's also, not to excuse the behavior, but also a range of what that could entail, right? You know, having showed a 10-year-old boy your barely legal magazine is not necessarily the same as being a molester or, you know, God help us, a child rapist, right? So, you know, behaving inappropriately or stupidly is not necessarily the same thing as him having done the most horrible things that he was accused of, right?
Right.
Like, the one doesn't necessarily imply the other, so I'm not sure I agree with your theory or logic. Like,
I don't know.
Like, things can look one way and wind up being something else. Like, we don't have anything definitive. I don't know. Like these people hacked.
Well, what about the there's just so many allegations. What about the people who have been paid off millions of dollars
for him, right? Like, which somebody has comes been forward, proven
that he's paid off. His estate continues to pay people off.
Right, but that doesn't necessarily mean he was guilty.
So the proof
what they have might be is hidden an underneath allegation, that. Though, right? And you're this huge pop star, and you're in the public eye, and people like the Inquirer and the Globe, like, that's all we want to talk about, and it is very bad press for you. Right?
Are you
going to drag this out? And, you know, really put your whole career in jeopardy? Or are you going to try and just get the story over with? You know, they get him to sign a non-disclosure agreement or whatever about the terms of the thing and just, you know, just get it out of the paper, right?
Right. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's interesting stuff for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever know what happened or... I think it's going to probably be a long time before everything comes to light.
I also think it's interesting that what these hackers found, like the most salacious and scandalous evidence they could find against Michael Jackson, you know, was barely legal magazines and like pictures of naked kids at the beach. You know, not necessarily anything right. that puts Michael Jackson in the best light, but not the same as, like, the bestiality crap. Like, you had to fabricate that stuff because what you hacked and wanted to find wasn't good enough. So you had to make up the really juicy stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean...
So if the L.A. County Sheriff's Department or the LAPD, whoever had the lead on that, like, in their huge, all-encompassing investigation, couldn't find anything completely... and fully
incriminating,
damning, you know, yep. Maybe it isn't there.
Or maybe people are being paid off. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't really know. We probably will never know the full story.
Yeah. Bit of a limited scope on that news segment, but I don't know. I thought it was an interesting discussion.
It sort of turned into an op-ed there.
Yeah. Whatever your feelings are about Michael Jackson as... a man or an artist, you have to admit that that story is, you know, his life, that is it's sort of a perplexing riddle, you know?
Let's leave it at that.
An interesting character.
Eddie, Jason, and Chris, if you're listening on Adobe, we love you. And remember to... get our podcast. We're on iTunes. We're on all the podcast apps. The podcast app that comes preloaded on your iPhone. We're on that one. And pretty much any podcast app, just search Eddie, Jason, and Chris and subscribe. And you can get all of our shows on demand anytime you want them. Big thanks to our guest, Mirror Eyes. Everybody go check out Mirror Eyes. And also Stephanie Osborne. Right?
That's right. Yeah. Yes. What's her
Stephanie
name?
Osborne.
Intergalactic Woman of Mystery or... yeah, what was that?
Yeah, I think that...
Look her up, though. Stephanie Osborne, that's what you... Google that. She's on Amazon. 30 a
lot of books.
E-books.
So, there you go. Need some reading material. There you go.
Smart woman.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time. This episode of Eddie, Jason, and Chris was brought to you by Delicious Coors Banquet. In 1873, Golden, Colorado was home to miners searching for gold. And when the miners sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. A beer that came to be known as Coors, the banquet beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.